The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. The Hawks are better than the Knicks, and they're going to prove it tonight as they go head-to-head in NBA Cup action. The Knicks, by the way, 12-6 against the Eastern Conference opponents. They're averaging about 117 points a game. I don't think that matters. Honestly, it's going to come down to fourth quarter stops. Hawks are 9-6 against Eastern Conference opponents. But here's what I know about the Hawks, Mike. And this, as you said, maybe you were not interested. And now that our team is here in the quarterfinals, maybe you are.
Right.
If they win, they go to Vegas, and then they got a chance to win this thing. And listen, anytime we can win something, I don't care what it is.
Right. Go for it.
I'm all for it. Trae Young leads the league in assists. We have a guy in Dyson Daniels that doesn't give a damn about anybody or anything that anybody's saying. He's not a punk. We know that. And we also have an emerging star in Jalen Johnson, who right now I think is taking the league by storm, Mike, with his ability to pass and do all the things he's doing. And I just feel like, and you know, last time we saw these guys, by the way, we beat them at home. Jalen went off. Rishon Shay went off. And oh, by the way, Dyson Daniels, Mike, controlled, okay, the Knicks point guards and really held them in check. All I'm telling you is everybody's expecting the Knicks to win and win big tonight, and I don't see that, Mike. I think we're going to hang with these guys and be right there, and at the end, if we can make plays, we'll advance.
The only thing which kind of gave me pause was a lot of Hawks on the injury report, and I'm like, come on. I mean, if you wanted me to get fired up about this thing, everybody's got to play, so hopefully everybody will step up. You know, talk about this tournament, this in-season tournament, but hopefully those guys will go because without Jalen Johnson, that's going to be a tough order. You need his physicality. You need his athleticism because, as you know, Carl, the Knicks are big.
They are.
And in the half court, you need a guy that can, you know, do what he does. And obviously Dyson Daniels and hopefully Trae. You know, it'd be nice if Trae can summon up some of that magic, you know, that he seems to have, you know, not that he doesn't do it anymore because we've seen him do in that Lakers, that half court shot and hitting those big threes. But those nights in the Garden back in 21 were just magic.
Yeah, I think he likes playing in these big environments. We haven't had a chance to do it since 21. To be quite honest, you're playing in these play-in games, and he said it. Remember when Trae was like, regular season ain't like the playoffs.
Right.
He hasn't had an opportunity. This is an opportunity in a big spot to show out and show up. Want to know what you guys think at 404-726-0929. One, are you paying attention to this? Because, again, it's always like, oh, well, they're not in it, or they're not even going to be involved in this tournament thing. And now here they are. And by the way, remember, they beat the Cavs twice.
Yep.
They beat the Celtics to get here. So the Knicks, it's not like this is a big deal. And Jalen Johnson is averaging about 10 boards a game. He's a 20-10 guy every night. 20 points, 10 boards on average. Mike, I think the key, though, is DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter has been playing really good. And if he shows up tonight and gives you 20 points like he's done, I think, the last six or seven games, Mike, they're going to win. I'm telling you right now. If he does that, right, like he's been playing, he can't have a 10-point night tonight against the Knicks.
No, he's been that special sauce. He's the guy that we've all – look, and guys, it's funny because, guys, I haven't heard anybody out there on social media or on our text line go, you guys going to lay off Hunter now? Because I think everybody agreed with us about how bad and inconsistent and often injured Hunter was. And now you see what this guy can be. And it sort of validates where he was drafted by then Travis Schlenk. And now he's living up to it. And maybe he's buying into it. And maybe, you know, sometimes, Carl, the light goes on. You know, everyone says 4 or 5 years. He did have a lot of time at UVA. He wasn't a one and done at Charlottesville. But for whatever reason, it's clicking. So let's not jinx it. Hopefully you're right. He gets it cooking.
Over-under's 237 tonight, if you're into those things, and we are. Turtle, is the spread still 7 or 8? What's the spread tonight, by the way, for the Hawks? I know they were a 7-point underdog earlier today. And by the way, these injury things, let me say this. Do you guys know we got the 7.5. The Hawks got fined $100,000 when Trey did not play. You guys remember in Boston.
Right.
There's no way our stars are not playing tonight. Number one, the NBA is sanctioning this. They need this to happen. This is why they're doing this in-season tournament. Number two, Tony Ressler doesn't want another $100,000 fine. So there's no way these guys are not playing.
Well, again, and please, if this matters to me, then you guys play. Don't tell me, don't try to sell this in-season nonsense and you guys aren't going to get up for it because it seems like a pretty big deal to a lot of folks in certainly NBA headquarters down the street.
It does. All right, 7.5 is the number. We'll continue to talk more about this as we move along today. It is big because tonight we're done at 6:30. Hawks, Knicks, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 A Game. Now, let's talk about the other big thing that apparently is happening. Now, we do not have complete confirmation, but there are various reports out there, and Mike and I discussed this yesterday, and we even heard from Tom Brady and a variety of other folks who were like, nah, I don't see this happening, and neither do I. But apparently it might be, and that's Bill Belichick, Mike, taking the job at North Carolina as we get ready to gear up for the college football playoff here in just a few weeks. If this happens and it becomes for sure that we know that they've been talking, he's had various interviews, I am going to be surprised because the ultimate goal for Bill Belichick, I always thought it was to become the most winningest coach in NFL history.
Yeah, it's kind of weird also when you think about a school that pushed out a 73-year-old, arguably the best guy they ever had as a head coach, to hire a guy who will be 73 in a few months to be the new head coach who's never, ever, ever recruited a college recruit. So, and there's an article in Sporting News, and it's also in Bro Bible, which I read, which is pretty interesting. And they're saying there's this power struggle. You have a board of trustees that want Belichick. There's some that don't. And needless to say, somebody who didn't probably leaked this story. That's how it got out last week that they had met in New York. But it seems to me there's a real issue. Some guys want to push out Bubba Cunningham, the athletic director. They feel the team, the football program, some of the other programs have been over budget. He's been playing loose and fast with the numbers.
What's wrong with Bubba?
Apparently, Bubba and some of the trustees don't see eye to eye. This is reminiscent in Florida State the time they moved on from Jimbo Fisher when they had a lot of people pushing and pulling. Either way, that's the train wreck that Belichick would be stepping into. Then we find today from an article that states he came with a 400-page manifesto going to streamline and fix Tar Heel football. So needless to say, Bill, maybe after, I don't know, they lost 7th Madison target Carolina as a potential spot and did his homework, Carl.
Well, first of all, if you're Bill Belichick, did you need a 400-piece manifesto to convince North Carolina to hire you?
If you turn to page 235, subset 6, you'll see.
No, I don't know. Look, he's not thorough, right? He's putting it out there. It makes no sense. And whether or not you feel, maybe Belichick's camp feels it, he had all his eggs in the Falcons basket, and when that went south, he had no other options in the NFL, and now he has none.
You're Bill Belichick. I thought you walked in the room, Mike, and go, I've forgotten more about football than most of you know about football, and this is why you need to hire me. Like, really? I need 400 pages of you telling me what the program should be? To me, it's a little, if it gets him the job, so be it, but let's not get it twisted. He's going to get the job if he gets the job. Simply because he's Bill Belichick. It's not because somebody read through a 400-piece memoir of what you need to do to get your college football program right. Either way, this is out there, guys, and we're talking about it because it could become completely official. There are rumors, again, out there. I don't start them. I just talk about them once they're out, that it could happen as early as today.
Now, look, I will say this. He's a better coach than Don Shula. The only thing Don Shula has is the wins. It's a different era. It's a different time. But the 6 Super Bowls trump the 2. And, like, as a guy that watched Shula at the end, it wasn't great either. So, I mean, I don't think anyone will ever debate that Bill Belichick is the greatest NFL coach, save for Vince Lombardi, and he'll always have his guys. But I just felt that you, kind of as a fan, had a feeling there was an ego thing involved, and 14 wins, you need to maybe, you can, you know, even with a bad team, 2 seasons, you could probably crank that out in the NFL. But you got to find someone who wants to hire you, and that's not forthcoming.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, listen, I've been saying I'm going to be surprised. I still will be, because I think the ultimate goal is still to be in the National Football League. And Mike, who knows? Maybe he goes here for a couple of years, but then you're talking about him being 74?
No, that fish.
74?
That's too fishy for me. That doesn't fly. I can't buy that. This, I think, is him realizing that it's nothing but a dead end in the NFL. The NFL owners, they've moved on.
Wow.
Well, why else would he take it? Pearl, why else? Yeah. Why else would he take it? I mean, seriously, why else? There's no reason, unless he thinks he's got no shot in the NFL, to do this. Because
are
you said.
Are you saying they've blackballed Bill Belichick?
They just think that his last 3 years sucked, and he lost his fastball with personnel. And the Tom Brady argument really does seem to walk. Not to mention,
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The fact that he's going to come in and it's his way or the highway. And in most NFL efforts, as we know here in Atlanta, we're very collaborative in nature, that teams aren't ready for a dictator to come in, even if he is the greatest coach to ever dress
well,
up.
Well, listen, if the bus has already left the station, if you're telling me he can't get another NFL job, then you're telling me that all of these NFL owners are colluding and saying, we don't want Bill.
That's not even a collusion. It's just common sense. I mean, I think people – look, Ashad Khan to me made the most sense because you still have enough pieces where you can bring him in and you've got a quarterback, just needs to get fixed. And if you tell me, Bill, you come in, but you can't hire some guy who's never coached offense. You got to go make Josh McDaniels your offense coordinator. I need some package deals that you're going to bring in. If you're coming in, here's the guys I want you to bring in. You're not bringing in a blank check and you're going to hire all your stooges like your son. That doesn't fly.
Mike, how can you say in the same sentence he's the greatest coach in NFL history, but yet nobody wants to hire him in the NFL?
Because at the end of the day, what have you done for me lately? And at the end of the day, Bill Belichick minus Tom Brady is a whole lot of mediocrity.
So it's all about Brady.
Well, it's just he hasn't been able to do the things he did. When Brady was there, he could do all the crazy things like trade down in the draft, take some of those shots. Now, again, a lot of his skill position draft picks were horrible. He always seemed to get defense right, but at the end, he couldn't build another framework to set his team up for after Brady. That's the bottom line. So if you couldn't do that, how's he going to come into my team, which is probably pretty poor, and do likewise?
Song's still relevant, isn't it? It's all still relevant. What have you done for me lately? It's Dukes and Bell. All right, we'll keep an eye out and see if Belichick. I can't wait for the press conference. It's going to be gold. I'm telling you right now. Hey, Brian McFadden is going to join us. We'll talk all things NFL with B-Mac coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're chasing down Bryant and McFadden coming up here. We had to move him. He normally joins us on Fridays, but Friday, Mike and I are going to be up in Washington, D.C., guys, for Army-Navy, which is going to happen on Saturday. Pre-game coverage at 2 o'clock, kicks at 3 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So looking forward to that. And we'll be up there Friday doing the show with a variety of guests stopping by. So make sure you tune in starting at 2. Lots of conversation there. And then, obviously, the Falcons play on Monday night football. So we'll have a shortened show on Monday and then all the pregame activity leading in you into Monday night football. Now, we will continue to talk about the Falcons and get back into that discussion because it's pretty simple. I think it's win or your season's over. That's where I'm at with this. Mike, we're running out of time. It's not like we have 7 or 8 more weeks to figure this out. So if you lose to the Raiders, and again, the Bucs somehow win, now you're talking about trying to catch the Bucs with what, Turtle, 4 weeks, 3 weeks to play? I mean, like, we're running out of time. So you got to get this done.
Yep, and look, that'll be the question for Coach tomorrow. As we said, we're up there tomorrow with the schedule being pushed back a day from Monday Night Football in Vegas. Ask the coach, say, look, I mean, you know, this is your job on the line. I'm not saying you're not going to get fired after 1 year, but this is the perception that you've blown a six and three first place, seemingly indestructible, invincible lead in this division, which is it's gone. You know, and I get it. Kirk is your guy, and I know there's other. I'm not naive. I understand there's other elements at play. You give a guy a lot of money, he's supposed to be the guy for at least 2 years here. But other coaches have said, money be damned. I got to win. And if Penix can give you that shot, because I think we can all agree, Penix can do no worse. And I understand the messiness of it, Carl. If Penix comes in and struggles, and then you go back to Cousins, that's kind of its own little soap opera. But I just think at some point, man, you're going to have to hit that glass in case of emergency and grab some Penix.
No doubt. And again, it's not like we are forcing the issue here. The circumstances of what has happened with our team is why everybody's talking about it around the country. And it's funny because outside of Atlanta, you know, from what I've gotten, Mike, it is This is an easy decision. Like, outside of Atlanta, everybody's like, well, why wouldn't you do it? Not understanding that, hey, this is the plan and we are in no rush and right. all the things that we've heard. But that's why I think it's hard for some people here to swallow the fact that, all right, are we not even willing to go there?
Look, I mean, on paper, and this is the thing that we talked about last week. We had guys like, you know, you got to get after Coach. Well, look, yeah, I know they're not going to answer a hypothetical question. You know, I couldn't ask Coach last week, what if Cousins sucks? Cousins technically didn't suck in Minnesota. They didn't win the game. He made two interceptions, but he looked better. But we still didn't get in the end zone. So the 0-0 touchdowns and 8 interceptions is still a thing.
Yeah.
And so you're not getting anything that you need as far as the red zone from your starting quarterback. That's undeniable. So now we can have the conversation. Coach, what is it going to take for you to put Penix in? Now, Coach is going to come back at us. I can tell you where this is going to go. Well, this is a game we feel good. Yeah, it's a 2-win team in Vegas. We're seeing a quarterback. It may be Desmond Ridder. And it's a pretty poor football team. But they still have Max Crosby. They still have elements. You know, they still have a pretty good tight end. You know, it's still the NFL. And you guys know, records mean nothing in the NFL. Any given Sunday is a phrase for a reason. But they're going to feel that Cousins can right the ship and he's earned the right. He's earned the right to a point. Yes, you won some games, but you've lost more games than you won for me at this point. Because there were two games in New Orleans where he didn't throw for a touchdown. Special teams won us the game here in Atlanta.
Well, remember last week when I asked you, what if he throws a pick early in this game, what happens? He did. Nothing happened. They didn't take him out on Sunday. They didn't even start warming up Penix. He threw that pick. They kept it moving. Now, he threw another pick late, which was an incredible play by the DB, that one-handed pick, Mike, when he overthrows, you know.
Busy doesn't put the ball where it needs to be against on Pitts.
Correct. Right. But that was just a hell of a play. But at the end of the day, like, he had a bad pick, and they didn't make a move. So they're not going to. Like, if that was the moment where you feel like they are going to do something, I just feel like they're not going to. And here's the deal. If you ride or die with that, Mike, and it cost you the season where you had a chance at the playoffs and we don't get there, mm-hmm. then ultimately down the road it may cost people their jobs. Not right now, but it just might. 404-726-0929. As we discuss this, we certainly want to hear from you guys. You can find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on in the world of sports. Now, yesterday, and we'll spend a little bit more time on this because the other part of our discussion, and it's not Falcon related, it is more Braves. Mike, you said this is an arms race, and we saw Max Fried get a big deal from the Yankees. And I said to Mike today, you know, it feels like it did last year when we saw all of the teams that seemingly were contenders go out and grab pieces they needed. And we waited and waited and waited and waited. And that's what it feels like right now. Now, the winter meetings are going on, and that's why you're seeing a lot of these deals get completed. But the Braves have done nothing as to say right now. I mean, like, Mike, nothing.
No. And Nathan Eovaldi has come and gone, a 3-year, $75 million. So $25 million, 5 more than you were given Morton, for a guy that can eat some innings for you, Nathan Eovaldi. That was one that I'd thrown out there because they've been linked at a couple of baseball writers had that story. Look, Juan Soto, that's a whole other animal. I get that. But you've got to improve your pitching. And you could argue, as some people have, you've got to get better in left field. Because Kelnick, you know, yeah, he's part of a platoon, but you got to get another guy in there to upgrade. I like what we've got at DH. If everybody can stay healthy, we're good. But remember, we're not going to get a healthy Acuna to start the season. We're not going to get certainly Spencer Strider right off the jump coming out of Northport. So, and the other thing is the salary jumps to top 5. I think we're 4th in salary next year because all the contracts kind of move up a notch. Is it going to be where they've always said, you know, he comes on our show, Carl, Alex always says there's no salary cap or self-imposed kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, we're not doing anything. The big moves have come and gone in the winter meetings, and the Braves haven't done anything. So what are we going to do? Are we going to continue to shop with a Groupon? And we're not, even though 4th is certainly a respectable place to be in salary and it's somewhere we've never been, it almost looks like you need more.
Maybe you do. I mean, like, look, we know the Braves are in a different situation than the Yankees or the Dodgers or some of these other Mets, for example, where their owner's just willing to do whatever it takes, even though it hasn't worked. Remember, just a few years ago, he went out and spent a buttload of money, and it did not work. And then they ended up trading all those guys away. Let me say this about these contracts escalating and ultimately getting you to top 5 status with payroll. When we signed them, we all cheered.
Right.
Because they were young and we were locking them up and it made sense. And now we're to a point where these escalators are kicking in and your core group is still in place. But because of it, and I said this, we had more guaranteed money on the books than any other team in Major League Baseball over the next 5 years. That was 3 years ago. So now we're getting to that point where you're starting to see that. And what this is, hey, We've signed everybody. We've gotten everybody we need. And then you say, well, you know what? Go back into your pocket and pull out some more money and let's go get some more players. That's what we want as fans. But as an organization, you're right. I don't know if that is what they're saying. Like, look, we're top five. What more do you want? We got to get healthy and see what these guys can do.
Look, we never have enough pitching. And that's always been the problem. And even the year we won the World Series, we didn't have enough pitching. Sale, Lopez, Schwellenbach, Strider. Okay? I mean, I guess you know, there's other folks that can step in here. But if you want to say, are you that warm and fuzzy about bringing Charlie Morton back at this stage?
You know, I would move on. That's
I would turn the page, but that's why I mentioned the guys like Nathan Eovaldi. You've got to find some guys to eat some innings. When the guys that have gone back and forth from Gwinnett finally establish themselves, you let me know when that happens, okay? Because I think, Carl, you and I have gone round and round talking about some of the pitching and saying, okay, when does this guy or that guy finally establish himself? You know, there's too much Foltynewicz on this team. Guys are just kind of, or it's injuries, or Ian Anderson isn't ready, all that stuff. So maybe the worm turns in that department. I think you need to get more pitching, and I still think you got to beef up the bottom of the lineup because Murphy is a zero in high tops. I hope this new hitting instructor can figure Murphy out and Arcia gets more pop.
Yeah.
Because Kelnick, I think Kelnick, you saw his ceiling last year. Maybe he gets better, maybe it doesn't. I'd like to see them invest in left field because it will still be Money Harris, Acuna when he gets out there, but I still think we need more pop.
All right, 404, what do you guys think? 404-726-0929 as we talk about the Braves. And again, it doesn't mean that they won't do anything because I still think they will.
But you know how this comes. It's never day one. It's never day two. It's basically the fifth page of the sports section.
Well, and that part of it, as crazy as it is, we're still very competitive and still playoff bound.
Right.
Like that's the part about this. Like spending to spend is great. I want to spend smart. And I think that has kind of been the mantra for the Braves. Now, I'm not saying, Mike, every move that they made is right and that everything that they've done is absolutely where I wanted to be. But I do think that you have to be cautious. This baseball thing, you guys see these numbers. Right. It's kind of getting out of hand, man. It's getting crazy where you can just throw money around like this and guys never live up to these deals that they sign, which is why, again, I'm all for short deals. I'm all for this. I'm not giving you a no trade. Because guess what? If I need to move you, I want to be able to move you. The way they operate, I like that aspect of things. But to your point, if you're saying right now that we don't have enough money to go get another number one arm or number two arm or whatever you want to consider it, I'm not buying that. I think they do, but I think they're being very cautious about how they go about it.
Now, again, I'm no stock expert, but Liberty Media spun off the Braves, their own entity. They're making some coin. Yes, they don't have the sweetheart TV deal like Dodgers are printing money with. And the Dodgers, by the way, great article in Sporting News talking about, you know, they gave Ohtani all that money. They guesstimate they made over $100 million in advertising back.
Easy.
From having Ohtani. So it pays for itself over the life of the contract. It can do. You can kind of do that here, too. But with, you know, with the FanDuel TV deal, it's not the moneymaker that other teams have, like the Yankees and others. But still, you got the battery. I don't know how that works or how they manipulate the money to make it sound like they're always just barely breaking even. But fans don't want to hear that. So, I like. And by the way, Snicker last year did one of the greatest jobs and should have won Manager of the Year. Okay, with all nobody in baseball overcame more injuries. They gave it to a new manager of the Brewers who won one more game than the previous manager, which made no friggin' sense to me. But Snicker has done miracle work when you consider the injuries he had to overcome and the lack of pitching he's had to deal with. And he'll have to do it again, it looks like, with the pitching department.
No doubt about it. Hey, coming up, we're going to get to the Daily Download. We will let you hear from Raheem Morris. The Dogs also continue to talk about how they are preparing for the college football playoff. And the Hawks in a big game tonight against the Knicks. NBA Cup action. Daily Download's next. It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're getting ready for Hawks and Knicks tonight. We'll talk more about it coming up. And the Falcons, it's funny because a guy hit me up. And before we get into the Daily Download, I just want to address this, Mike. And again, one man's opinion. One of our listeners said, Dukes and Bell, you know, when it comes to Ra, this is Eddie, he said he's extremely loyal. And when you look at who he hired, you know, they were friends. Kirk Cousins, he's known, and were boys back, you know, when his Redskin days, when they all worked for the Redskins, and hashtag going down with the ship. Let me say this, Eddie. That's not uncommon. That happens all the time in the NFL. Now, whether it works or not, all right, that's a whole nother conversation. But I can tell you right now, every staff that I know of in the National Football League, there are guys on that staff that have friends on that staff that have known each other for years. The fact that they went after Kirk Cousins, yeah, it helped that he knew him, But the thing that they sold us on, and Mike, we've talked about this, was his processing ability. His ability to see the field, defenses, read defenses. We didn't want to go through this rookie stage of having to deal with that and hopefully have Michael Penix learn behind Kirk Cousins. But that's what the whole gist was when we said, what kind of quarterback do you want? Mike and I specifically asked Zach Robinson this question. We asked Coach Raheem Morris before the decision was made, and everybody said the same thing. So I hear you, but if they go down with the ship, they won't be the first.
Right.
But that whole notion like, oh, he's hiring his friends, hell, everybody else does it in business out here. It's just what it is. But if it works, nobody cares, Mike.
No, I mean, everybody's got their guys, and then we can debate, you know, whether or not they fit what we're trying to do here. I thought, you know, it was funny at the time when guys were saying, we got Ryan Nielsen, we got to retain him. Well, it rarely is a coach retained when a new coach comes in. He does, to Carl's point, have his guys, has his own vision of who he wants to plug in. Even if the guy works schematically, he's got his people. And maybe Ryan Nielsen would be a better fit than Jimmy Lake. We'll never know. Nielsen did a nice job. I do think that the general manager has done some things this year which maybe don't play to what this defense is trying to do. We didn't actually get proven veterans. We tried. Now, he did go and make the effort. He got Simmons in here. Simmons hasn't been great. He got Judon. Judon has not been anything close to what we thought he was going to be. And it's not Terry Fontenot's fault that Braylon Trice and Ruka Roro have been injured, and Trice is done for the season. But we could have gotten some corners. We had some corners that were available where we were selected in the second round. Defensive secondary, we debated it, Carl. You can blitz against the Chargers, but you can't do it against the Vikings because they got better guys.
Yep.
Now, how do we do it against the Raiders? I think we could do what we did against the Chargers against the Raiders. Some, you know, you can see that Brock Bowers is going to get his. But what do we do in the playoffs? See, I think a lot of fans are looking at this. Man, we just blew a 6-3 lead in the division, and now you don't feel this team can do anything in the playoffs. No, coach is never going to sign off on that. But like the fans have seen, we've lost our mojo. We've lost our way. And the initial point you made, Kirk Cousins is hurting you, not helping you. So when do you finally cross over that line that says, I've got to put Penix in there? Maybe we never get there this year. That'll be on Raw.
404-726-0929. Eddie, appreciate the comments. And I get it. Because you're saying, hey, this is why he won't change or why he may not make a change until you absolutely have to. And maybe you're right about that. We'll see.
Look, and we know, we've seen this before. When you go to the other quarterback, happened last year. I was crying, let's go see what Heineke can do. So Heineke beat us with the WTFs, whatever the hell they were called back in the day.
Yeah, the command, or the,
yeah, before
the,
they were commanders.
The football team.
And now, you know, and then Heineke came and didn't do anything. You know, and then now we're back to Penix. So that's like the worst case you can be. And then you really feel like you're rudderless ship. But I just felt, as a fan, last week, if you got into the situation you got in at the end of the game, let's go with Penix. But Terry's gonna. I know what Coach Ra's gonna say to us tomorrow. We'll ask anyway. Still in the game, Kirk gives us the best chance. Okay, so when do you say to Coach, you're losing your season, and that's the point I'm gonna bring up tomorrow. Your season is going away. It's fading. When are you going to address the quarterback situation? And we'll see where he goes with it.
All right, more on the Falcons coming up. By the way, news about the competition committee, Mike. Apparently, NFL executive Troy Vincent is saying that the competition committee is going to discuss expanding replay to assist with things that include such penalties as face masks. The reason why this is a big deal is because they try to make these subjective fouls subject to replay. They don't want to do it. They've opposed this. These are those plays where we as fans go, that's not replayable. You can't replay that. And they go, no, it's subject to the referee's decision. So now they're saying they may allow some of this stuff to get looked at.
Well, you know, we can talk to our – well, he didn't come on the show much. But we could talk to Rich McKay about this in the competition committee. But we had pass interference. The most important play that ever gets a flag, you can't review. They did it for 1 year after the Rams basically stole an NFC championship from the Saints. Oh, poor Saints. But we all know what happened. Even the most diehard Falcon fan would agree the Saints got hosed.
Yeah.
So they gave So literally, like, they dole it out like cookies for preschoolers. You got a cookie? Okay, now we're taking the cookie back. It's the stupidest thing. Of all the dumb things that the NFL has done in the competition committee, replay needs to be there. You know, face mask, yes. Is it a legitimate face mask call? I mean, how many times we've seen the contact with the quarterback? Now they throw this dynamic of the weight. You're falling on the quarterback with your full weight. How the hell, Carl, is a 275-pound man supposed to stop in midair?
Can't.
You know, all these rules drive me crazy. But the one that I would go to is the pass interference. It's the most important. It can change a football game, and you can't review it.
No, it absolutely does. Allowing penalties to be called by officials who aren't on the field is something else they're talking about, Mike.
And that's fine. See, the reason they don't want to do the replays on everything is it slows the game down. You and I can see the play. There's some plays that require five or six looks.
It does.
And there's some plays you see it with one look. Let's go. Streamline that. You can do that within the 40-second clock, can't you?
You could. You could. We'll see again. Tom Pelissero reporting this. Mm. And
drives me crazy.
Troy Vincent talking about this today. So, listen, this is the tweaks that the NFL does every year. Some of it's good. Some of it's bad. By the way, what do you guys think of the new kickoff? Just asking.
I don't like it.
Okay. So, let's move on. Let's get back to where we were. But the NFL's afraid of that because, again, the concussions were up. They will tell us that they're down with the new kickoffs. But I got to tell you, it's boring.
Well, then, you know what? Everybody who goes out there for the kickoff, they all wear the giant Spaceballs helmet, okay? We'll all have gigantic, oversized helmets with 6 inches of padding, and they can go out there like human bobbleheads and cream each other, okay? Take off your kickoff helmet. You can sponsor it, okay? You can put a giant logo on the back. This kickoff is brought to you by McDonald's. Giant McDonald's logos on the back of oversized helmets. But, I mean, I just think this, whatever we're doing now still looks silly.
I agree. All right, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to the daily download.
Story number one.
Well, since we're talking about the Falcons, let's stay right there because I want you to hear Raheem Morris talking about Desmond Ridder. We do not know whether or not he's going to start. And by the way, I think the Raiders keep this close to the vest, by the way. I don't think they have to say at any point between now and Monday night that he's going to start. But there is news out of Vegas that Aiden O'Connell is at today's walkthrough and that he's feeling good, okay?
Feeling good, Billy Ray.
Looking good. I think that there's a really good chance he probably starts. But here's Raheem talking about Desmond Ridder.
If he gets an opportunity to go out there and play, I'm sure he'll have a full practice week. He'll be able to prepare the right way and get ready for us, a familiar opponent, some people he know. And now we got to get ready for him as well. So he can run the football. He's talented. He's athletic. He's big. He can throw the football. He did a lot of good things. He wasn't able to lead our team into the way that we wanted him to go to the future. He's getting a second opportunity like a lot of quarterbacks do in this league. And we got to get ready to play him or Aiden and be ready for both, or either one that shows up.
We'll talk to Hondo Carpenter, Carl, coming up at 6:20.
Say Hondo?
Hondo, behind that. You like this guy. He's a wild man. He's going to join us to talk about the silver and black, and maybe he can tell us if it's going to be Aiden under center or it's going to be Desmond.
Yeah. I prefer Aiden just in case we do take this L, Mike. It won't feel as bad.
So you're saying, Carl, it'll be more humiliation if it's Desmond Ridder at the helm.
There's no doubt. Like, look, we've all been right there and down in the dumps as far as, like, why can't we win these kinds of games? But I just feel like, and I know you guys are going to think I'm crazy, got to come out of this some point. This is the week.
Well, this will be his second five-game losing streak as head coach. First time came as an interim in 2020.
We got it. You count that?
Well, he's the man in charge. It's on your watch.
you count.
I mean, the prefix, team, prefix or no prefix is interim. It happened.
That team was in the crapper to begin with when he took it over.
True that.
But
it was a five-game losing streak to start the season under Dan Quinn.
We got to come out as we're going to win on Monday. We got to win on Monday.
So, and by the way, I don't care about style points, but I mean, if you win, a win is a win is a win. But man, can we get in the friggin' end zone in the passing game?
Yeah, it would be nice. Before we talk about the Hawks who are in action tonight, Chris, what do you have on Bill Belichick? What's going on? What's the latest?
Yeah, according to Adam Schefter, quote, North Carolina is working to try to close a deal with Bill Belichick to make the six-time Super Bowl champion the Tar Heels coach, but sources told ESPN there are still issues on both sides.
He's not taking this job.
Well, I think there's somebody in the Board of Trustees going, are you out of your freaking mind? You know, we just ran the best coach we ever had out of town at age 73. You're going to bring a guy who's never, ever, ever coached college football or recruited, regardless of his NFL resume. It's crazy. I think there'll be maybe there's a reality check in that Board of Trustees meeting room. I don't know.
Do you have the Tom Brady cut from yesterday?
That's gold.
I want you to hear this, because if anybody knows, it's this dude. If anybody has any inkling into, do you really think he could coach in college? Listen to what Tom Brady said.
Can you imagine him coaching college?
No.
Absolutely not.
I think there's a lot of things he could do, and obviously he's tremendous, and even showing his personality. But getting out there on the recruiting trail and dealing with all these college kids, that
could
would be.
Could you imagine?
With NIL.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Bill on a couch?
Listen,
recruiting an 18-year-old?
You really want to come here? I mean, we don't really want you anyway, but I mean, I guess you could come. We'll figure out if you play.
If you bring your parents and use them as a third party, you're gone. You're off the team. We're direct.
That was from Fox last week as they were discussing. You hear Gronkowski.
Right.
Tom is brutally honest there. Then he had to catch himself because he's like, oh, crap, I'm on TV.
Yeah. But that was, geez, why does Tom give me more of that in the booth? No, that's gold.
No, I do not see him coaching. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, he can do anything he wants to do. No, Tom's telling you, dude, he ain't built for that.
Keep it right. And he was right there on the money. It just seems to me that he's, you know, like his agent, his reps, they put the feelers out. I there's only a couple of teams that might want a shot at Belichick. Now there's nobody, apparently, you know?
By the way, what do you guys think the holdup is? Seriously, you think it's money?
I think it's the Stephen the idiot son part.
I do too.
You know? I can't know about your kid?
Mike, I can't promise you that he's going to be the head coach. And wait, if you don't work, I still got to give your son the job?
Right. Your kid, who's high watermark, he just coached a team that was getting rebuilding in Washington as a DC. But I mean, the kid looks like Joe Dirt on steroids. That's not the guy I want repping my school until I know what this. Give me a bigger sample size of leading college football players.
All right, let's get to the next story here as we continue with the Daily Download.
Story number two.
Let's go, Hawks. Trae Young, how many does he go off for tonight, Mike?
Ka-ka! Well, if he goes for 25, does that mean he can still give me a double-double and give me 10 dimes?
Absolutely he can. He's giving you 20 points and 12.2 assists right now, leading the league in that category. Hawks against the Knicks tonight. Now, for those of you who are going, all right, what's the big deal? This is an NBA Cup quarterfinal clash because the Hawks qualified by winning their bracket, and that included two wins against the Cavs and a win against the Boston Celtics. Guys, they can handle the Knicks on the road. The question is, will they? And remember, Bogey and Jalen Johnson didn't play the other night. So, Mike, they should be healthy and ready 100% tonight, hopefully, for this game. Rishon Shea had a big game last time they saw the Knicks, and he's playing better. Guys, look,
right.
The rookie's averaging about 12 points a game. He's not afraid to play and shoot the ball and do things.
And Quinn Snyder's put him in some big moments and letting him learn on the job, which is great.
I've just seen some flashes where, again, he didn't have to be the star here. And, Mike, I'm okay with Rishon Shea. Like, I don't know what people were expecting. Again, nobody predicted him to be Wimby, but I think he's got a bright future.
Well, we were going round and round about, you know, who should they take? What should the mission statement be? Do you go with Alexander Sarr? You want the big man, which his team kind of does need. But Sarr has, I mean, I think Rishon Shea, when you pop for 30 and you've shown the ability to play within the flow of the team and Trey's taking you under the wing, I think it's just Trey, everybody's really kumbaya right now on this team. And the only thing that can screw us up is the injury bug, and hopefully that doesn't happen.
No, I totally agree. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys. Coming up, we'll catch up with Brian McFadden at 3:20. So we'll talk NFL with him. But we got to get to an NFL blitz when we come back, and there is a lot to dive into. Stay right there. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.